Welcome to another episode of Nerds Win and Movie Podcast, where today, in the first episode, we will talk about Obi-Wan Kenobi. Here to the intro, stay tuned. So, as promised, here I am delivering first of three episodes, first of which is going to be my scene-by-scene breakdown, summary, and review of episode 5 of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Hello there. This has been an unbelievable show, and I've said it numerous times that Deborah Chow is just absolutely phenomenal. She's been the story she's been able to tell is just top notch. And for some people, apparently when they watch shows and movies, all they want to see is pew 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 and recognizable faces. Well, I'm sorry, that's not how storytelling works, and that's why this show has been great the entire fucking time. You know what I'm talking to. But let's start off with this breakdown. So, episode 5 opens up with the Clone Wars flashback. I find it funny that one episode ago, we had people complaining, where are the flashbacks? This has been a perfect time for a flashback. And look, the patience that Obi-Wan was trying to teach Anakin would have done pretty good for some of you. I think you know who we're talking about. But that being said, honestly, this is obviously the highest rated episodes by all the great big people like Supes. Don't get me wrong, I'm super thrilled to see Obi-Wan and Anakin fighting in that era. And I really like the way that it almost feels like Vader was having these flashbacks. And it was just really interesting how the way they broke it up into multiple little bits and pieces, it accentuated the story. It came at specific points where it's like, this is why this is happening. Remember this conversation that they're having? This happened in the past. They both are remembering the same story, but from a different point of view. So I really do think that a lot of people gave up on this series before they really had a chance to even enjoy it. And I remember thinking at the start of this episode, wow, and here we go. They're all going to be so happy now, and we can stop hearing all the bullshit about how the show sucks and it's bad writing and this, that, and the other thing. But oh well. So back to the episode, Vader giving the title of Grand Inquisitor seemed strange to me from the get-go. It just didn't seem to fit with the story they were telling. I was wondering why, and we'll have more on that later. When the crew makes it back to Jabim, Roken, played by O'Shea Jackson Jr., who I have to admit, I am slightly disappointed is not Quinlan Vos. And the biggest reason that I'm upset that O'Shea Jackson Jr. is not Quinlan Vos because I just want to see him in live action again. No other reason. I mean, he played a great role as Roken, and I enjoyed his character, but I just the whole time I'm like, I wish he was Quinlan Vos. That would have been so much better. Oh, wait. I can still enjoy it, right? Wow. Interesting. I also think that there's an interesting connection with all these characters that they're kind of playing out, obviously the same story, but from different point of views. Like Obi-Wan is greeted by Haja, who is played by Kumail Nanjiani, returning from his encounter with Reva earlier in the season. He stated he had nowhere else to go because, I mean, now he's wanted by the Empire. And I love his comment about now he knows what it feels like to be a real Jedi. It's not easy, Well, yeah, that's obviously true. The people who are on Jabim have been waiting there for months, according to Rogan, to be relocated. And that window for doing so is closing fast. And that is because they pushed it back to help Obi-Wan. When we cut back to Vader's ship, and Vader instructs Reva to lock down the facility so they cannot escape. And now I want to put a pin in this for a moment to speak about some comments I've seen numerous times across the fandom regarding the last episode. I keep hearing people complain about how episode 4 was a filler episode or was just a waste of time, etc., etc. I bring this up now only because episode 5 happened. Episode 5 can't happen without episode 4, which I'm sure people will say it's the best episode in the show. They finally got the Clone Wars flashbacks, and apparently that is the reason, the only reason that they're watching. Without Reva kidnapping Leia again, the only reason that they know where to go is because Reva did something to the personal droid Lola. It not only gave them where to go, but also gave them a inside agent that made it possible for them to lock down the base, and in doing so, preventing the escape of the people. Oh no! I'm complaining about something that didn't matter because it was fixed the next episode, because I don't know anything about storytelling. So when they have Kenobi saying, so we then hear Vader say that we have Kenobi. And Vader is going to attack because he knows that Obi-Wan knows that he does not have the patience for a siege. And this sparks the Obi-Wan flashback from Obi-Wan. Now, during the flashback, Obi-Wan and Anakin have like this philosophical debate. He says, "You're growing aggressive, Anakin. Be mindful. A Jedi's goal is to defend life, not take it." And then Anakin responds with, "Mercy doesn't defeat an enemy, Master. Which is why you're going to lose." You know, rewatching this episode, I have an interesting thought. Are both Anakin and Obi-Wan having the same memory? Is this another instance of the two of them being linked, kind of like when they were both in the Bacta tanks in the last episode? You know, that filler episode? Yeah, that one. And I also think that there was no flashback in the last episode for a good reason. And the reason for that is it would have cheapened this. You know, so I really have a problem with people having an issue with this show. It doesn't make a lick of sense to me because there's just so much to love. And when you have so much to love, why are you complaining? Like, I'm almost thankful at this point that we didn't get a flashback previously, because this one was impactful. This one meant something. This one connected to the story and accentuated that story and made it better. You know, stories? And for me, I am so happy that up until now, everyone didn't get what they wanted, because this scene wouldn't have been as amazing. This whole episode with the chopped up flashbacks and everything, it wouldn't been as amazing if there was a flashback in the previous episodes. And I really don't see how people have followings that talk the way they do. I mean, and I love how now, because we got the flashbacks, it's good enough for soups. I mean, come on, dude. It's kind of fucking pathetic at this point. I mean, I understand you just want to make content for clicks, and I get all that shit. But honestly, one week ago, Obi-Wan Kenobi's breaking your heart. I really want to like this show, but it sucks. Blah. And then now, because you got what you wanted, you got the flashbacks and you got Vader, oh, now it's great. Come on, bro. Come on. With all the followers you have, fucking do better, bro. It's ridiculous. Seriously. Seriously. I just don't understand people these days. But let's get back to the episode. I definitely digress on that. I get a little heated when I talk about things like that, but for just reason, I think. Obi-Wan, you could see he had to Obi-Wan could see he had to step up. He had to be that leader once again, the strategic general. He delivers an honest and powerful speech. Obi-Wan knows his opponent. Anakin, too, often did rely on his power more than his cunning, and that goes double for Vader. The flashbacks, for me, are more of an analogy. Like, in the training session in this episode, they are both looking at the same scenario or battlefield. Obi-Wan decides to play his opponent rather than the situation, while Vader, believing in himself to not only be the most powerful person, which he is, but also believing he has a strategic advantage since the corruption of Lola and the locking down of the base. Obi-Wan knows Vader will not wait and will just trust his advantage and power and just do what he has to do. This chess match between these two great foes, now foes, once best friends, and one that played to both of their abilities, who comes out victorious will help further close a plot hole many had earlier in the series, but more on that later. One of the best scenes in the entire episode for me is when they get to the hangar door. Haja jokes to Roken about checking the vents. Now, Roken is a bigger guy, you know, so he can't obviously go in there. And, Leia just doesn't even hesitate. She's just like, get me a ladder. Roken's like, all right, listen, this is not a game. Like, we're not playing games. And Obi-Wan's like, do what she says. I mean, you trust me, I trust her. And then they get her the ladder. And that is very much Leia Organa, very much, doesn't wait for someone to tell her, doesn't go in and says, I can help. No, listen to me right now. Get me a damn ladder. I'm going to fix this shit. That's Leia. Just saying. You might want to watch the originals and come back and talk to me later. But just at that moment, Obi-Wan receives a message that could have led to a catastrophe. And to be honest, if we didn't know for sure when all the Skywalkers die, it could easily been from Bail. He should have known better, but he is a worried father, and I can't blame him for that. But think about it. Vader would have found that recording with the talks about children, Owen, Tatooine. He would have been aware of his kids long before he ever found out in the canon. After listening to the recording, Tala comes in and explains to Obi-Wan why she does what she does. Told a story about how she was forced to round up families who she believed were just, you know, avoiding paying taxes. In all actuality, they were Force-sensitive families. 14 people died, and 6 of them were children. She shows Obi-Wan her notches, 15 by my count, showing she's got at least 15 children or families, it's not quite clear, safe. She tells Obi-Wan this to say, you're right, you can't forget some things, but you can fight to make them better. This is exactly what Obi-Wan needed to hear. He takes that to heart. He can't save Anakin or the Jedi that fell, but he can fight for these people. He can buy them some time. And he does so by trying to turn the now Grand Inquisitor. When he starts talking, where you can see he's kind of working things out. And honestly, I think this is the start of Obi-Wan really using his Force powers again. Because if you think about it, in the previous episode, he was obviously terrified to use his lightsaber. He didn't use the Force. He struggled to keep Leia up, who's a child, you know. Back in the day, that man could have done anything he wanted with the Force. And that's another thing that people are complaining about. Like, well, why hasn't he trained with Qui-Gon? He disrespecting Yoda's wishes. How do we know he hasn't been trying? I mean, there's a scene in the series where he's just sitting there trying to connect with Qui-Gon. Trying desperately. And he can't. Because he had cut himself off from the Force. And he cut himself off from the person that he is, and you can't use the Force like that and become something even bigger than most Jedis and, you know, commune with the nether realm of the Force if you're, you know, shut off from the Force. Doesn't mean he wasn't trying initially. He probably just failed so many times that he just said, you know what, I'm just going to live a normal life. I'm not strong enough to do what Yoda asked me to do, and I'm just going to watch Luke. That's something I can do. So people who are complaining that we haven't seen Qui-Gon yet, I mean, honestly, I bet you we'll see him in the finale. Or at least hear him. That's my theory, is that we'll hear him, and it'll fade to black right after that. Like, you'll see Obi-Wan, you know, that classic end-of-movie trope. He's just sitting there. All of a sudden you hear Obi-Wan, and it's Liam Neeson. That's what I think is going to happen. But I wouldn't be, like, really upset if it didn't. I mean, I know some people would be like, and run away. Yeah, that's not my style. But it seems like Obi-Wan's using the Force to try to sense her feelings. And then all of the BS that we've gotten, all of the complaints about the bad writing, how could she possibly know who Anakin is, who Vader is? Here we are. Again, proof that you kind of got to watch the whole story before you complain about it. We find out that Reva was one of the younglings that Anakin killed in Order 66 at the Jedi Temple. Now, I spoke about this earlier that in my podcast that I didn't like that that she was a youngling. I would have rather been like a Padawan, because I feel like she's too young to have been a youngling at the temple. Like, for her to be her age now, I think she's too young to be where she should be. That's just my opinion. I'm not mad about it. I mean, those scenes were so powerful, and I'm really glad we got to see them. And it paints Anakin in a worse light than the prequel trilogies did, because we got to see it. We never saw it before. We get implied, like, he lit the lightsaber and then obviously killed those kids. But, I mean, this is the first time we watched him strike down younglings, besides that little recording that Obi-Wan watches, even though Yoda tells him,
only fear will you find.
So, that, and then here we go with people complaining about it, and this great story is just being told in a manner in which they don't like. And that's whatever. I mean, it definitely is not something that I would harp on. I would definitely really try to give the show a shot. And I'll talk about this in my Miss Marvel breakdown. I was complaining about the powers in the first episode, and I said, I'm not going to give up on it. It's still a first episode. Second episode, they answered 95% of my issues right there. Like, without even breaking a sweat. Like, it really was that simple. I had to wait one episode. That's it. But, you know, it comes back to the same issues of people just jumping to conclusions. But back to the episode, I really think that the change here in the Order 66 scene is that Anakin was terrifying there, coming out of the shadows with his lightsaber drawn. I mean, yes, he looked like he was going to help them, then he ended up slaughtering them. I know when I watched Revenge of the Sith, I was never afraid of Anakin. I felt bad for Anakin. I actually was terrified of him in that scene. And that's a stark difference from what we've seen in the past. And I think that was so just rewarding in a storytelling aspect to see, because we've always, this series, if anything else, has shown us just how terrifying and powerful and just ruthless Anakin / Darth Vader was. and that we never really saw. Like, we kind of just assumed it with the way everyone treated him in the original trilogy, and now we've got to see it. We've got to really see it. And it's been just a beautiful thing to see. And for people to complain about it, it just drives me crazy. I can't help it. I get mad. But man, when Reva was telling that story about how she just like hid under the bodies until they went cold. Whew. It's really impressive. Like just the way that she delivered those lines. And all, I really, really loved that all was from her point of view. So when the camera went down, it got blurry because it was her losing consciousness. And we see them do that later again in the at the end of the episode, which we'll talk about then. But the cinematography of this show has been top notch. And anyone just say otherwise, I'm sorry, it's wrong. It's not an opinion. You can judge things. That's objectively judgeable. Like, it was the camera. Like, did they use camera angles? Did they do fade to blacks? Like, there's so many things. Like, the background. Everything goes into cinematography. And you can judge that. Whether you like a show or not is not something that can be judged. That's a fucking opinion. But when it comes to what is on film, there's definitely a way to grade and to look at that medium and say this was a good film versus this is a bad film. It's not whether or not you like it or not. That's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about here. And I've said this many times. There is a huge difference between liking a movie and it being good. I always use the analogy. Green Lantern is a horrible movie, but I enjoy it. And I always used to get people when I would get into arguments about Batman versus Superman. It is not a good movie, period. It is entertaining, and you can like it, but it is not a good movie. It fails in almost every single aspect for numerous reasons. Now, I will say that the extended cut that they put out was better, but it wasn't a good movie. Ah, everything went crazy. It was not a good movie, and that's not something you can say, oh, well, I liked it, so meh, 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 meh. It was bad. There was choppy editing. The color scheme just didn't seem to fit. The actors were all just being, like, bland versions of themselves. And the storyline didn't really make any sense. And, I mean, Martha, come on. Don't even sit there and try to justify that to me, because I will make you look stupid. Okay? Stupid. But it's not a good movie. I own it. I've watched it recently, actually. It's not that I don't enjoy watching it. There are some scenes that are freaking pretty awesome in that movie. Doesn't make it a good movie. It just doesn't. That's not something that is up for debate when you look at this. Like, there's so many things you can look at when it comes to cinematography, editing, direction, writing, acting. I mean, there's just so much that goes into what makes a good movie. And honestly, not a lot of people seem to know that there's a difference between something you like and something that's actually good. You can like bad things and you could not like good things. I'm not a fan of The Godfather. Does not mean I'm saying it's a bad movie, because it's not. I just don't like it. Simple as that. It's a classic, and I will never argue against that, but it's not for me. That's okay. I know that's a foreign thought, but that is okay. So, again, I digress. Back to the episode. So, you can literally see that Obi-Wan is literally putting the pieces together and figuring out that she wants Vader. She's not hunting Obi-Wan. She just knows that if she gets Obi-Wan, poof, here comes Vader. So Obi-Wan tries to turn her, of course. And they're saying that they want the same thing. And then she calls him out. It's like, do you want Anakin dead? That shit hits him like a ton of bricks, because that was just the expert level of emotional damage. I mean, she says, "Where were you when my friends were getting killed?" She hits him with a lot of truth, and honestly, she like the worst part when she says he was your Padawan. You should have stopped all this, which is exactly what Obi-Wan has told himself likely for a decade now. Reva stops playing and just cuts through the door and almost guts Obi-Wan, honestly. Now, the scene where they enter the base, when the stormtroopers enter the base, it reminded me of like an old World War II trench fight, but with ray blasters and lightsabers, obviously. The up-close and personal shots that gave the scene a lot of character. The way they watched certainly the stormtroopers fall, like, that isn't necessary. That's a directive choice to do that, and that is what enhanced the scene. And again, there's a difference between good content and content you like. Granted, they can be the same thing, but they're not mutually exclusive. They can be both. So this scene I loved, because honestly, it's like the first real skirmish of the Empire and the Rebellion, really. Because granted, this isn't the Rebellion just yet, but it's them rebelling against the Empire. It's them smuggling out Jedis and giving them new lives. Now, real quick, I want to just talk about the fact that there was a lot of lightsabers in that box that Obi-Wan was looking at. So a lot more Jedi survived than we actually thought, which is a good thing. I mean, initially it was like it was Yoda and Obi-Wan. That was it. And they just keep adding little bits and little bits. And honestly, I'm happy about that. I like when you can add more connective tissue to a story, especially a story that I love. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, why wouldn't you want more content that can better explain all the characters that you love, or at least claim to love? But again, I digress. And I think Ned B, the loader droid, might now be my favorite droid ever. I mean, I love R2-D2, love what's his name from Rebels? I'm drawing a blank. And of course, K2SO from Rogue One, Chomper. There we go. But basically, he's kind of like K2SO, but without the witty remarks, which isn't that bad because his actions speak louder than just about anybody's words in the entire show. He's the one who saved Obi-Wan. He's the one who helped save Tala long enough to do what she had to do. Like, that robot deserves like to be like remade or some shit. Like, I understand, you know, it didn't work, but I mean, damn. And honestly, God, Deborah Chow, like, you made us care about characters that honestly really didn't matter. I mean, think about Tala, okay? Tala was only seen in this show for a few episodes and then dies. So why do I care about this character? And I'm asking this objectively because I do care, and it hurt me when she sacrificed herself. Like, but it's a character that it shouldn't matter. I mean, it should just be a throwaway character, but that's not what it was, because Deborah Chow gave her all this depth. Made you care about a droid that didn't say a damn word. Know what that is? Good storytelling. Shh, don't tell Supes.
And am I the only one that every time you watch that scene and you hear Obi-Wan in the background, "Tala! No! Tala! Tala!" And then she shoots the doors closed, "May the Force be with you," and just blows up? Like, I cry. Like, big crocodile tears. Every single time I watch that. Because Deborah Chow did so good such a good job at making us care about these characters that we had no business really caring about. I mean, we know where this story ends, and we know that they're not there. So there's only so much they can affect the story, and we still cared so much. And I also just want to applaud Ewan McGregor's performance, who I really don't think Ewan McGregor gets enough praise for what he's been able to do. I mean, his acting ability makes it so easy to suspend that belief that this isn't real. And you really feel the character's emotions when it's all made up. And he's just so good at conveying that, and he just deserves all the admiration imaginable. And I honestly know that they're probably not going to give him an Emmy nod, but he definitely deserves it because he's been fantastic. Ewan McGregor has been just a blessing. It's so amazing that we finally get to see him again as Obi-Wan in this fashion. Because it's just beautiful. Every bit of it has been fantastic, seriously. And I just can't say it enough how impressed I am with everyone in the show's acting abilities, as well as just the way they did the show. It's just fantastic. I mean, I don't see any way that you can really argue how good the show is. Again, you can decide whether or not you like it, but it's hard for me to see where you can pick out issues in it as a medium, as a property. It's just really, really good when it comes to all aspects of the filmmaking process, really. And I really don't understand where people are coming from when they're talking about how much they hate certain parts of it. It's whatever. I mean, at this point, they can dislike it. All of us real fans are just going to be super stoked about it and keep watching it, and I can't wait for the final episode. And I feel like it could be good as this, like just one season. I do hope they do give us a second season, because I want more. I'm being very, very just self-centered. I want more. Give me more Obi-Wan Kenobi. Give me more Ewan McGregor. Give me more Reva. Give me more little Leia. Give me more all of it. It's just been such a great time to be a nerd. We won. I mean, I don't know if you guys realize this, but the nerds won. And now we are battling other nerds that honestly probably don't deserve the clout that they have. And it's a sad turn of events that we went from being bullied for liking the stuff we like to now having to combat so-called nerds who supposedly like the content and want to love it, but can't find enough to like. It's all just about things that they can't stand and how it's not good and not this. And it's tragic. But we've known for a while that the Star Wars fandom was very toxic. I've spoken at length about how I've received literal death threats when I left the Star Wars group on Facebook. And if anyone doesn't believe me, I'll be glad to pull up the messages. I still have them saved. And we are at this point in nerddom that it's no longer the outside forces that are attacking us. It's from inside the house. Alleged superfans that don't really like any content, apparently, unless it's the big name people shoved down our faces and pew 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 and all of that. Like, you want just action, then go watch The Expendables. The Expendables doesn't pretend to be anything it's not. It's just a cheesy action movie. If that's what you want, it's available. Not in Star Wars, though. Sorry. And it really is interesting. In the show, this chess match that's going on between Vader and Obi-Wan. And again, Vader is assured of his victory in his head, even goes so far as to say Kenobi is ours, makes Reva stand down because he wants to take in Obi-Wan himself. This, coupled with the flashbacks of Anakin's ego and his using strength to attempt to overpower Obi-Wan. Now,
Obi-Wan realizes that he can't win in a straight out fight, and he realizes that he has to do something to give them as much time as possible. Obi-Wan hands over his weapons and communicator to Haja and tells him to watch over Leia. When Roken asks how is he going to fight Vader with no weapons, Kenobi responds, there are other ways to fight. The chess match continues. Obi-Wan turns himself in. He is brought to Reva, and Obi-Wan tries his hardest to turn Reva. And at that point in the episode, it really was unclear whether or not it worked. But we go back to the flashback, and Anakin bests Obi-Wan and says, there, I've won. Obi-Wan shows him why he's still just a Padawan. Your need for victory blinds you. And this is part of what makes this story so great, is that we got to see how Obi-Wan tried to show him the error of his ways back in before Revenge of the Sith even happened. And then here we are. He's still a Padawan. He's still a learner. He is not a master at this point. And every turn, Obi-Wan shows him that. And at the end of the episode, we'll get into that later, he does finally learn. And Leia is able to restore the power to the hangar. And then here we go. We have hope. But I think it's funny that Obi-Wan was taken in by two stormtroopers. They were supposed to, you know, secure him inside. And of course, they couldn't, because it's fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi. Two stormtroopers? These people can't hit a bantha if it was right in front of them. I mean, these are the people that consistently are made fun of because they can't aim, and yet you have them try to carry in Obi-Wan? Come on. Come on. We knew that wasn't going to go on well. And there's a sad moment when Obi-Wan, you know, runs back and Leia asks, where's Tala? And he just shook his head and she didn't make it. In the haste, of course, as he would, Haja drops the communicator and just keeps running. And can we just talk about how menacing Vader is just walking? I mean, with the Imperial March in the background, and he's just walking through the hangar, and it's just terrifying. And then when he sees the transport taking off, Vader, I mean, he just one-hands that ship and brings it down with the Force. We haven't seen that in live action from anyone really besides Rey. At least to my knowledge, we did see it in the Clone Wars, the final season when Ahsoka tried to pull back Maul, but something of this magnitude, it was limited to only Starkiller from the Force Unleashed games, and to see Vader do it without even breaking a sweat and just tearing through the hull of the ship, it was just something I didn't know I wanted to see, and I'm so glad we got it. Because, again, it shows just how powerful Vader really was. And it was just so good. And then we go back to the flashback, and Obi-Wan bests him without even having a lightsaber. Tells him, your need to prove yourself is your undoing. Until you overcome it, a Padawan you will still be. That moment, when Vader's just staring off after the second ship disappears, Vader just standing there, if you look closely, you can see him kind of shifting, almost like he's just taken aback that he was bested again. And of course, this is when Reva attacks. And can we just talk about Vader just toying with her? That man didn't even take out his lightsaber at all. Like, what? I mean, yes, he is Darth Vader, and yes, she is just an Inquisitor, but she's still a Force user with a lightsaber, and he didn't even need to take his out at all. Like, he honestly could have probably just beaten her down with the Force, but he chose to give her a fighting chance. Gave her one of the two sabers. We also revealed in this episode that she had the dual wield lightsaber and it spun just like the other Inquisitors, even though we never saw that in the entire show up until now. Vader stops the spinning with the Force, snaps it in half, and goes, "Here you go." And they have, honestly, one of the best lightsaber duels we've seen in a long time. It was just choreographed beautifully, and I just didn't expect it to be like that. Vader just, like, he's just so strong. He's straight up stopping sabers in midair and just pushing them back with the Force. Like, it was almost like Vader playing like he's in the Matrix. Like, everything, he can just adjust the way the world works around him. I mean, he's literally was dueling without a saber. I mean, I've never seen Vader move like that before, too. He's dodging things left and right. It's like, holy shit. This is menacing. Like, how can anyone stop this guy? And obviously, for the most part, no one could. And it was just so amazing that we got to see this. Because think about the only Vader fights we've seen prior to this in live action was the, you know, the original trilogy and then Rogue One. And, you know, there was always mobility issues with the suit because, you know, the way the padding is. And obviously it was also meant to do that. So it made him look more robotic and because he is more machine than man at that point. But man, like I watched it over and over again and I just can't even fathom how strong Vader really is at this point. And you got to think also that he was being powered up by his rage after being defeated by Obi-Wan again. For the first time in this series, we have this amazing lightsaber fight, because we didn't have a lightsaber duel really in the show, because, you know, when Obi-Wan was fighting Vader the first time, I mean, Obi-Wan was just terrified to even use his lightsaber, so I don't want to count that, but this battle right here is just top-notch. Really is. I just can't even fathom, and I keep saying that because it is. I keep trying to think of all of the times that I've seen Vader, you know, in the comics and this was the most impressive, in my opinion. And I honestly don't think anywhere in the canon Vader ever really dual wielded. And in this specific scene, he was dual wielding at one point. And please correct me if I'm wrong. It's either Stitch or comment below if there is a version of him in canon where he does have dual wield, because I don't remember ever seeing that. And the parallels between Reva's first death and her second death are just so uncanny. It's the same thing. And again, the amazing camera work and the cinematography to have it from Reva's point of view again, it's just fantastic. I mean, that's what great storytelling is in this medium. It's showing you things from the proper angles to deliver the most powerful impact on your viewing experience. And unfortunately, a lot of people just don't seem to care about that. And of course, another thing that a lot of people were complaining about is, oh no, the Grand Inquisitor's dead. It ruins the canon. Bah. Did you really think that a lightsaber to the gut is going to kill the Grand Inquisitor? Reva should have cut that man's head off. That'd have been the only way to guarantee it. And then when he walks up, he basically tells her that we're going to leave you where we found you, in the gutter where you belong. And man, I can just hear the people getting angry because they were complaining about this, and yet again, it was answered. Maybe you got to have a little bit of patience with stories that are more than one installment. Just saying. But, man, when we cut back to the ship with all the families from Jabim, the hyperdrive is down and the Empire's right behind them, and we cut back to Reva crawling in the dirt until she sees the fallen communicator. And it's at that moment that Obi-Wan can actually feel this. He knows something's wrong. Reva hears just enough to know what her next move is. Obi-Wan tries to play it off, but it's clear he knows something bad is coming. And then we get that final shot. That pan that from out in the sands of Tatooine, we go in slow all the way through the Skywalker Ranch. And then we see him. Little Luke Skywalker, sleeping like a child. Man. So, and again, cinematically, it was so pleasing to watch that slow crawl in from the sands, and with the music playing in the background, it just fade to black. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And honestly, if anyone really wants to argue that, I'd be glad to. I mean, because that's just not really up for debate. That shit was gorgeous. And here we go. Like, if you look at everything that people complained about, how did she know about Anakin? The death of the Inquisitor, flashbacks, the hate for Leia and Reva. Well, I guess you're not complaining anymore, are you? I guess now it's good. It's great. It's just great. And honestly, it really hurts that there are so many toxic fans that are trying their best to make this all be a problem. And it really isn't. The story was good from start to finish, so far at least. I mean, we still have the final episode. I mean, granted, they might not stick the landing. That's a legitimate possibility. I understand that not all people will like the show, but you got to look at this as, up until this point, episode 5, one episode left, it has been really good. The story, the plot, the acting, everything. I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to keep repeating myself till people finally listen. And then you have all these people that are just mad about it. And, you know, granted, we can't really judge it 100% until we get this last episode that's coming up this week, because you never know. I mean, Game of Thrones is pretty good up until the last season, too. I mean, that last episode literally ruined almost the entire show. So it's definitely possible that could still happen with Obi-Wan. I don't think it's going to, but it could. So I'm going to reserve judgment to say about series as a whole, but as of right now, it's been pretty damn good. And if you disagree, let me know. I'd be glad to explain why you're wrong. But now let's get into the predictions of the season finale. So let's go. What do you think was going to happen in the season finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi? I've already made a small prediction earlier in the episode, and I'm going to continue that right now. I definitely believe that we're going to find out that he's been trying to reach Qui-Gon Jinn, has not been able to, and the last scene of the show is going to be Obi-Wan, and it's going to be Qui-Gon's voice. I don't think we're going to see him. I would love that. Oh my God, would I love to see a Force ghost of Qui-Gon Jinn, because we haven't seen that live action. It'd be great. I just don't think we're going to get it. The only way we will get it is if there is no plan whatsoever and no chance there's a sequel, because then they're going to put all their eggs in that final basket and gave it to us nice and clean. And initially, from the reports, Reva was initially supposed to die at the end. She's supposed to find out Luke and Leia and then go face Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan kills her and then the story continues. But from what I have heard is that instead of doing that, they actually going to have her survive and bring her back for season 2. I don't know if we're going to get a season 2. It has not been confirmed yet. Ewan McGregor has said that he wants to do it. Well, actually, he said that he would do it as long as they let him. In regards to the finale, I also think that we might get a Palpatine sighting. Don't be surprised if the reason why Vader was not at the forefront of this hunt is because Sidious doesn't want him to be. Sidious has other jobs for him and needs him to do that, and he's not doing that. And I think Sidious is going to show up and basically pull him off of this. And I feel like Obi-Wan is going to have his death faked, and Vader's going to truly believe he's dead. And then that's why he has that moment on the Death Star where he's like, I have not felt that power since, and then just walks off. I feel like by the end of the series, Obi-Wan Kenobi will be dead, and all that will remain is Ben. And I do want to touch on something real quick before I wrap it up here. Everyone's always wondering why Leia named her son Ben. And they were like, well, she would have known him as Obi-Wan Kenobi. She never met him as Ben. She did. She did. She actually met him as Ben before any other of the characters besides Owen really knew him as Ben. And obviously now it makes sense that she named her child after the man that saved her as a child. And that's another thing about this show and all of these Disney Plus shows. It just adds more backstory to the stories that we already love. And for you to hate on it means you probably never liked the Star Wars content in the first place. And honestly, at this point, we're done allowing you to be here. If you don't like the content, if you want to be racist, if you want to be misogynistic, if you want to be whatever, homophobic, whatever you want to call it, get out. We don't want you here. We want to enjoy our content like it's meant to be entertainment and not have to come and have to worry about who we have to battle next for people who are talking shit about our favorite properties. If you don't like the show, don't watch it. If you don't like what they're producing for you, then why make content about it? Unless you're really only making content for clicks and for, you know, endorsements. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love to have that. But it wouldn't affect how I respond. If I had, let's say, a sponsor that didn't like something I'd say, I would say either get over it or pull it. Pull your sponsorship. Because I will say what I want to say on my podcast. That's why I have a podcast. I'm not writing for a website like The Culture Nerd like I used to. I want to be able to tell my own stories and say what I want to say, and I will do so. So, that being said, if you don't like Star Wars, just get the fuck out. Seriously. But this was episode 1 of 3 for this week. Obi-Wan Kenobi will release first. The Miss Marvel breakdown and summary and all that stuff will release second. And then probably sometime during the week I'll do The Boys, because The Boys comes out on Friday and my podcast comes out on Sunday. I it's a little too close for the 48-hour spoiler ban that I impose on myself. So that won't be until the next week, really. But episode 1 of this week of Nerd Tweet and Movie Podcast in the books. Stay tuned and check back for the next one. Until next time, this is Nerdpool Prime signing off.